Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
By the way, we're starting our class now on Purim. The second half of this tape is on Purim. This portion, Tetzaveh, that we're reading during the week of Purim, some of the hints to it, which it's usually read when it's not a leap year in the week of Purim, within the week. Chapter 28, verse 2, it says you should make Bigdei Kodesh, you should make clothes, the Kohen Gadol's clothes, Lechavod Ultifaris. They're described as honor and splendor. Now, if you look at the beginning of Megillah Esther, when Ahasuerus has this huge feast, right? It mentions these words, these Lechavod Ultifaris. And we learn from here that Ahasuerus came out with the clothes of the Kohen Gadol. He wore them. Okay? Now that is important. And we'll start a Purim class of this. Because that was considered the start of the decree of why the Jews were chayav. They had like a death penalty on them for attending this feast. This particular feast where Megillah Esther opens up this huge 180-day feast. We attended it. Now, the truth is, the Gemara says, not because we attended it, because nenem oisel suda, because we enjoyed, we got enjoyment from that suda. Alright? Mordechai warned, now listen very carefully, and I'll show you why Purim is such an important holiday. Purim is the holiday that says if all the other holidays are gone in the future, in times of the Mashiach, Purim will always be with us. We have to understand why that is. That's going to be the central theme of the class. Megillah Esther opens up, 180 feasts. Mordechai warns everybody, don't go to this feast. Don't go there. Now, if you think, by the way, that it wasn't kosher, and that's why Mordechai warned us not to go, that's not true. It was glatt kosher. They made sure of that. In fact, Haman and Mordechai were, so to speak, they had different reasons why they wanted us to be at that Suda, right, and not be at that Suda. At that meal. And the basic idea was that Haman even understood that us assimilating by going to that feast showed that we were considering ourselves like Persians, Persian Jews instead of Jewish Persians, right? And therefore, that would awake the wrath of Hashem. It would throw us in despondency. We would know that we're going to stay in Persia. We're not going to Israel. There's not going to be a building of base of Migdash. Mordechai warned him not to go, even though it was glatt kosher. And it was glatt kosher on purpose. Haman made sure it was, so we would have no excuse not to go. And the people said to Mordechai, and you could read it in the Jewish press probably, it said right there, you know, Mordechai, what's wrong? You're this fanatic Jew. The king invites all his subjects to a feast celebrating the third year of his reign. Right? It's politically correct. It's loyal. It's patriotic. I mean, we're honored that he asked us to come. Us, you know, the Jews are always considered low in every nation, right? And yet he gave us a special invitation. Can you imagine not showing up? It'll be a slap in his face. That would cause a decree of annihilation against us. Mordechai, this stone-throwing fanatical Jew, you know, is, don't listen to him. He doesn't know what he's doing. He's out of touch. You know, very good. Stay in your ivory tower and learn Torah. Don't get involved in politics, Mordechai. You know, we know what we're doing. We're going to go there. We're eating kosher. Tell me exactly what's wrong with what we're doing. Well, it's got to do this. You know, look, everybody's going to be there. We'll show Ahasuerus we're loyal citizens. We appreciate being in this country. After all, we are in this country. We better go along to, you know, get along, go along, right? Mordechai said no. And you know what? For 9 years, the Megillah starts in the third year of the reign of Ahasuerus and it goes through the 12th year. For 9 years, nothing happened. And everybody was saying, and the Jewish press had more editorials. You see, we went to the Suda, and everything's been very nice for us. And if we listened to that Mordechai, that fanatical Jew, who knows what would have happened now? For 9 years, right? Again, remember, the key is that in the Gemara and Megillah it says, Nenem Oisosh Suda, that we enjoy that Suda. Now, let me tell you what that Suda was all about Achashverosh. Again, an example like we talked about, how these wicked people understood the spirituality of Israel and that that is the power of the world. Achashverosh was obsessed with the same thing his predecessor was obsessed, and his predecessor, Nebuchadnezzar, was obsessed, the building of the Beis HaMikdash, the prophecy of Jeremiah. Jeremiah prophesies in 70 years, we'll be back and rebuild the temple. And everybody was trying to calculate when those 70 years started. Did they start from the exile? Did they start from the destruction of the temple? Yet when exactly did they start? Achashverosh calculated this was the end. And he took a big chance. Because his predecessor also calculated and thought it was the end and had a huge feast. And the famous handwriting on the wall, Daniel, he was killed that night. He came out and used the vessels of the Beis HaMikdash. This was Vashti's father. Yeah? Belshazzar. Belshazzar came out of the vessel of the Beis HaMikdash and was struck dead that day. He saw the prediction of Jeremiah not come true. He calculated the 7 years had come to an end and Israel did not go back and build their Beis HaMikdash. This was so important to them. They understood that their kingdoms were compromised as long as the Jews had that holy temple. Achashverosh took a chance. Evidently, he thought it wasn't a chance. He calculated for sure the 70 years has passed and the Jews have not rebuilt their temple. Now I can celebrate that truly I'm the king of the entire world. Mehoidu Adkush. And that's what the celebration was about. 180 days. That's it. The Jews. Yeshno Amachad. They're sleeping. Yeshno. There's a nation. Playing words. Yeshno. Shina. They're sleepwalking in the mitzvahs. Their God has forgotten about them. They're going to stay here forever. And I'm going to emphasize it. Like no mistake about it, says the Gemara in Megillah. Achashverosh is a bigger anti-Semite than Haman. And Achashverosh brought out the vessels of the Beis HaMikdash to that Suda. And he wore the Kohen Gadol's clothes. And we participated? That wasn't the sin. Nene Moisa Suda. We enjoyed it. We sat down and didn't bother us. Didn't bother us. What's going on? How can you not be bothered? You see him wearing the clothes of the Kohen Gadol. You see the holy vessels of the Beis HaMikdash. And he's celebrating. You know what this Rosh is celebrating? He's celebrating that this is the end of Israel. That we're going to remain in exile. There's not going to be any redemption. No building of the Beis HaMikdash. How can you attend such a Suda? And enjoy it? Forget about Glatt Kosher. Eat Glatt Kosher. Start thinking Glatt Kosher. And Mordechai warned him, don't go. Not because of the kashrus, because of what it symbolizes. You're assimilating. You have no Jewish stolz, Yiddish stolz, pride. You hear? 9 years passed. They didn't get the connection. Yeah, they still thought they were right. They did a politically smart move. Mordechai almost jeopardized their lives. And here comes Haman. Haman, Yimach Shemo from Amalek, he's raised to power. And everybody's bowing down to him because that's what the king, Achashverosh, commanded. Mordechai, lo yishtachaveh, lo yikareh. Mordechai refused to bow before him. And the Jewish press had a field day. Haman goes wild. This one Jew won't bow to me. He puts out a decree to kill all the Jews. That Jewish press goes, here he goes again. He's got stubborn, fanatical black hat Jew. He didn't learn. For 9 years, he kept thinking he's right about us attending the feast. Nothing's happened to us. And now what? To make matters worse, we saved our lives by doing a politically smart move. Mordecai wanted to jeopardize it. And now what does he do? He goes on purpose in front of Haman and doesn't bow down to agitate him. Mordecai, you're an Orthodox Jew. Fine, you're a fanatic. Fine, you're not going to go bow down to him. Fine. So stay at home. Do you have to appear on the streets on purpose and look where this guy Haman's going to be walking, the prime minister of the land, and on purpose show your face in front of him and on purpose not bow in his face? On purpose, that's what you're doing? And now there's a decree to kill all the Jews. And it's your fault, Mordecai. That's what it looked like. Megillah Esther means to reveal what's hidden. Megillah, Gilui, reveal. Hester is hiding. Why do we wear masks on Purim? Because what appears isn't really what reality is. What's behind the mask? The mask tells you Mordecai jeopardized our lives by not bowing to Haman. He caused the decree. Had we listened to him and not attended the feast, we all had been dead by now. That's what the mask looks like. But behind the mask, the great sage Mordecai just saved all Jewry. The tshuva process started. Had they listened to Mordecai and not attended the feast, let me tell you the rest of the story. Had they listened to Mordecai, the following incidences would not have happened. Right? The following incidences of getting advice what to do with Vashti. She didn't appear before Ahasuerus. Who gave the advice? Haman. Vashti's killed. Haman's raised to power. Right? There's a decree for 9 years on the Jews in heaven. Hashem gave us a chance to do tshuva. We wouldn't listen to Mordecai. Mordecai refuses to bow to Haman. The tshuva starts. The tshuva is starting. You hear? He understands that this is a Moloch. He understands Amalek is the mask of the world. He's the one that says everything is coincidence. And we were falling into the trap. We were falling into the trap of Amalek, of Haman, that everything is coincidence. He has to do everything by political rote. So Mordecai does something completely illogical according to nature. Because the whole story of Megillah Esther tells you that nature is a facade. Nature is a puppet in the hands of Hashem. And all of us and all the people in Megillah Esther make the same mistake. We forget who's pulling the strings. We see political moves. We see going to, you know, the pseudos, not bowing to Haman, right, as being bad or good, right? We don't see that it's Hashem orchestrating all these events. That's what the story of Megillah Esther is about. That's what Purim is about, and that's why it's going to be here at the end of days. Because that is the holiday of exile. That's what we're living in right now. Every day is Purim. Everything's going on. It's not Bush. It's not Reagan. It's not Clinton. It's not Hussein. It's not Shamir. It's not any of these guys that you think is going on. They're all puppets in the hands of Hashem. Mordecai refuses to bow down to an Amalek, to a Haman. He refuses to give in, to bow down to Mikra, to coincidence, to nature. We're above nature. The tshuva starts. Esther becomes queen. We know what happens. But the question remains that we were sleepwalking. The mitzvahs weren't important to us. We fell into despondency. We attended a feast that was celebrating the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, basically, and it didn't bother us. Obviously, for there to be a tshuva, there had to be a rectification of that. And when the whole story of Megillah Esther ends, we have a verse. It's very familiar to all of you from Havdalah. That verse in Havdalah is from Megillah Esther. Vayehudim hayisa oira simcha v'sasan v'yikar. Right? Famous verse. The Jews had, right, light, joy, gladness, splendor, right? Comes the Gemara in Megillah and says, you're reading this wrong. That's not what it means. What it really means is Oira zu Teira. You know what it means that the Jews had light? It doesn't mean they had light. It means they had Torah. Right? And you know what? Simcha doesn't mean they had happiness. It means they had Yom Tov. Sason, you know what Sason means? It doesn't mean joy. It means they had Bris Milah. And Yikar doesn't mean splendor. It means they had Tefillin. Basically, Jews had Torah and the mitzvahs. That's what it means. So, Chedushi Arim asked the question, so you tell me the Jews had Torah, fine, and mitzvahs. Just say that. Why are you telling me the Jews had Oira and Ora is not Oira, Oira is Torah, the Jews had Simcha, man, it's not really Simcha, it's Yom Tov, Sason's Milah, Yikar's Tefillin. Just say the Jews had Torah, Yom Tov, Bris Milah, Tefillin. Zok the Chedushi Arim, that's the whole point. We got into this mess because Haman's accusation, Yeshno Amachad, there's a nation, Yeshno, Shina, sleepwalking in the mitzvahs. They have no Yiddish shtolts. Get them to attend that Suda, that banquet. We're celebrating the end of Jewish independency, of their spirituality, that they're settled in Golis, right? Sleepwalking in mitzvahs, and you got them. Achshver says, I'm scared of their God. He says, don't worry. These guys, Yeshno, they're sleepwalking the mitzvahs. Their God's going to abandon them. When this whole story ended after 9 years and they finally saw it, Mordechai was right. We were wrong. Mordechai was right. We should have attended the feast. Mordechai was right for not bowing down to Haman. And we finally, 3 days, fasting, sackles, we did a tshuva. We did such a gavaltik shuva that we said the words kimu v'kibu, which is equivalent to nasa v'nishma. We re-accepted the Torah. We weren't sleepwalking. We appreciated the Torah. Zok v'chadosh yarem. That's why it says, la yehudim hayisa oira simcha sasam v'yikar. And it doesn't say we had Torah and mitzvahs. Why? Because we escape the world of Teva, of nature, which is what is Amalek all about, Haman's all about. We went beyond it and saw Ora. You know what light is? That's not light. You know what the real light? Light up my life? Torah. That's the real meaning of light. This physical light. That's just a physical manifestation of a much, much, much higher reality. We understand what aura is. You know, it'd be like today. What's fun? A vacation to Cancun. That's not fun. Fun is learning Torah, doing mitzvahs. We had a reawakening. We woke up. We weren't sleepwalking. We appreciated Torah and mitzvahs. We reaccepted the Torah. We had an ischachus. Oira. That's Torah. You know what simcha is? You know what the definition of simcha is? Yom Tov. That is simcha. Simcha is Yom Tov. What's sason? That's Bris Milah. That's the taitch of Bris Milah. Yikar, splendor, glory. That's tefillin. That's tefillin. Medayek asfas emes. Lama lo kasav beperish. Laidim hayasa Torah Yom Tov Milah tefillin. This is Sfas Emes, the grandson of the Chedush Yerim. Why isn't it just said we have Torah, Yom Tov, Milah, Tefillin? Rosh Niktav, Derech Remes. It's just written in the hands in a hint. Because Kol Zman Sheyitachas Amalek Yimach Shemam Hayakisui V'Oitem Shelo Yargishu Es Oir HaTorah. When we were under the hand of Amalek, Haman, Asher Karcha B'Derech, we're going to read it this Shabbos. He met you on the way. He chilled you. Karcha's word kar. Cold. It also means he met you. He injected a coolness. He cooled off the enthusiasm of what it is to be a yid. Karcha b'derech. On our way where? From coming out of Mitzrayim. Coming out of our straits. Mitzarim. Our tzoris. Mitzrayim on the way to Mount Sinai. He met you on the way. cooled off the enthusiasm for reaccepting, for accepting the Torah. Karcha! Purim came along and we rectified it. Anytime you're in the hand of a Malek, he is the foreskin of the world. That's what he calls it. So Orla, you gotta take off that foreskin. Right? Ki yad al keisko! He's master cold vibe kedusha. He hides, a Malek hides everything that's spiritually and holy in the world. He hides it because it's not so important. Don't be such a fanatic. Don't be such a frumi. Enjoy life. Blend it. You know, Esav tells Yaakov, let's go together. Yeah, I'll share a little bit. You tell me about your Torah. I'll tell you about, you know, what I do and my culture and values. And we'll assimilate. Right? That's Amalek. So we won't feel the sweetness of serving Hashem and doing His mitzvahs. When we conquered Amalek, when we defeated Haman, and don't think I'm just talking about that physical guy, Haman, him too, but what he represents. The Amalek inside of us, says Rav Huttner. That is the mitzvah on Purim. The mitzvah on Purim to eradicate Amalek is to eradicate what that philosophy stands for inside each one of us. That cools us off to Yiddishkeit. Check that Amalek inside of you. Be a proud Jew. Anytime you have more convictions, devotions, and loyalty to anything else out there in that verstunken world than you do to your Yiddishkeit, that's Amalek. That's the Amalek inside of us. Shagavru Amalek, when we conquered Amalek, we conquered and slaughtered Amalek within us, Azir Gisha Ursha Yesh Batera, we saw the light in Torah. Doraisa, by the way, it's called in Aramaic. A right Torah is called Doraisa, which means the word or is in there. What does it mean, light? Light shows you where to go. That's the Torah. It's called the guide. Torah means guide. Lights up the way. You're blind. We're blind mice in this world without the Torah. The Torah lights up the way. So that's what he's saying here. Mighty Maisa Oira. Just a second. V'zeh kavonos hadrosh. L'yudim Maisa Oira. V'kamoken begolos hayachasar lemargeshes ha-simcha b'shabasos v'yam tevim. So too, in the golos there, we forgot the feeling and the joy and the simcha of a Shabbos and a Yom Tov. We didn't get into it. Shelo ayu margishim ashreinu matov chalkeinu. We didn't feel this verse, ashreinu matov chalkeinu, how fortunate we are, and how wonderful is our lot, being Jews. Pashut, in the morning, when you say the bracha, asher bachar banu mikol ha'amim. Say it like you mean it, that you chose for all the nations, shelo asani goy. It's a bracha. It's mamash a bracha. It's a bracha, you understand? It's a bracha not to be a goy. V'shiyesh b'yanta b'chira miyuchedus asher b'chabanu mikol ha'amim. V'rak sh'nik'alu mitachas yod Amalek hirgishu. Once we were redeemed from the hands of Amalek, we felt b'nafshenu. We felt it within us. Ashreinu matoiv chalkeinu. How happy is our lot. V'asimcha sh'yesh b'yamim toivim. The simcha b'yanta. V'ageula v'yeshua ruchni she Yisrael hirgishu b'nafshosenu ki toira hi oira. B'yanta simcha. And so forth. Okay. The times of the Mashiach, we said, the Gemara says, even if all the other holidays are batal, mevutal, they're nullified, Purim will always be with us. I'm going to end with this, guys. Why is that? And let me ask you something else. Why is it on Purim we're commanded to drink to the point you get intoxicated? It's not a very Jewish thing. And the whole idea of tzchak, of laughter on Purim, lightheadedness, it seems like almost chas v'shalom, it's also not a very Jewish thing. And I'll make the question stronger. The Arizal says, the holy Arizal, the great Mekubal, he says, Yom Kippurim. Yom Kippur, right? Yom Kippurim. It's a day like Purim. Yom Kippur is a day like Purim. Not quite as holy. Yeah? Yom Kippurim, a day like Purim. You know Lashon HaKodesh, you know Ivrit, Kippurim, like. Purim's on a higher level. What's going on? Pashtus Yom Kippur, you abstain from the physical, right? We always said that's, you know, to fast for the sake of heaven is always easier than to eat for the sake of heaven. And on Purim, you know, you're more involved in the physical than the other day. And to still, to try to sanctify the name of God, to Mekadesh Shem Shemayim, that's the test of a Jew. The test for a Jew on Purim is when you're drinking and you're eating, not to take your mind off of Hashem. That's what Purim's all about. Yom Kippur, you're in shul all day. You're not eating. You're not doing nothing. Right? You can focus on Hashem. Hashem has enough Seraphim. He has enough Malachim and Shemayim. He wants to see involved Anshei Kodesh Dimli. Be involved in the physical world and serve me. That's what Purim represents. Purim will always be with us in the days of Mashiach. Purim involves Tzchak. Purim involves to drink Adelo Yada until you don't know. Purim is the holiday of Yemei Mashiach, and Purim is us every day in Golis. Because Purim tells us, number one, Megillah Esther, it reveals the hidden. That Hashem's hidden face in the world, Hashem's name is not mentioned in Megillah Esther, which is equivalent today that we don't see open miracles. But when it's all said and done, you see how Hashem manipulates all the events for our benefit. Right? Why is Esther, the wife of Mordechai, taken, forced me to live with a Gentile? Why is Haman, of all people, the anti-Semite, raised to power? And he's got all this wealth. Why do the ways of the wicked prosper? We have big questions on this stuff. Right? And what happens in the end? Haman's wealth, he only got it so it would go over to Mordechai. His position, Mordechai would have never gotten that position of prime minister. That permission, that commission and position was transferred to Mordechai. Esther was the instrument for Jewish salvation. What looked like bad turned out to be good. That's why this is the holiday of Yemei Mashiach. That's why Purim will always be with us. The idea of tzchak. What's the idea of laughter? Well, laughter is when something looks really bad. You know what? It turned out to be good. That's a laugh. They use it in comedy sketches all the time, right? The slapstick stuff, right? A guy, a very dignified guy in a tuxedo, and a pie hits him in the face. The complete opposite. Purim is nahafachu. Everything turns around. What looked like was bad is good. Says the Org Dalyahu, the Sefer Yetzirah, the book that Avraham Avinu wrote, the book of formation. Chodesh Adar, Himloch Ois Kuf B'schak. Every month has a certain letter. Okay, this is getting very deep. But basically, the letter of Adar is Kuf. Kuf stands for Kedusha, holiness. Iker Tzchak Matzinu. Why is the Kuf of Tzchak? And the Kuf is also represents Kedusha, holiness, and Tzchak. Tzchak, laughter. Says Habir, the reason is. Iker Tzchak Matzinu Tzal Geula Sisa. We find that the main idea of laughter is in the future. In the future world, Mei Mashiach, the ultimate redemption. Yeah, Shir HaMalos. Remember Shir HaMalos before benching? Az Yamales Chok Pinu. Then our mouths will be full of joy. Our mouths will be full of laughter. Ki Chok. Let's analyze what Chok is. Perish. This is what it is. Hakol Nirish, Hakol Nevad. It looks like everything is finished. It looks like it's terrible. Esther's taken as queen. Haman's raised to power. There's a decree on all Jewry under Achashverosh. To be annihilated? Right? It looks like it's the ultimate end. Ubesof nehafech hakol ha'tayv. And at the end, it all turned out to be good. The inyan tzchak la'asilavo. This is what's going to happen in the future. The laughter of the future in the times of Mashiach. Ki az yisbar l'kal Yisrael b'behirish. Then it will be revealed to us clearly. All of Israel shall kol mashiach nirlano b'oyach ha'golos. We'll see that everything that happened to us in the Golas that we thought was so bad, communism, inquisitions, holocaust, be'emet, haya, hakol, goyrem, l'geula. They were all part and parcel of a means of redemption. The koma shavar leinu ayal tevaseinu. Everything that happened to us was really for our good. Va'geula shel Mordechai v'Esther, hu mein oisa behiris. And Mordechai Esther, that is a microcosm of that kind of clarity we're going to get at the end of days. Right? The Ken Yesh Inin Shuschok. That is what the laughter of Purim is all about. That will be the skok of the future, where our last before of after. Because then it will be clear to us. We'll see everything that happens in Golas was for good. It was all preparation. And part and parcel of the redemption. That's what it says in Shir HaMos. Hayinu kecholmim. We'll be like dreamers. It was like a bad dream, all the bad things that happened to us. We'll wake up to the real reality when we're on top. Ki az yenir akol golas kecholam, all the source of the golas in our personal lives as well. We'll look like a dream. She had a behiris, it's leino, akol yel tov seino. Everything will be for our good. But we have to make sure that our schok on Purim, tzarich neroi, tzarich ha-simcha v'schok, of Purim, the simcha and the laughter of Purim, me'ein schok la'asi lavo. It has to be like the schok of the future in times of redemption. Schok shebekedusha, the lokal shroish. It has to be a schok of kedusha, a laughter of holiness. We're celebrating and we're happy on Purim that we're Jews, that there's a Kadosh Baruch Hu watching over us and saving us from our enemies. That's what Purim's about. That's what the suit is about. A thanksgiving meal to the ultimate. That we believe now Kadosh Baruch Hu saved us, He is saving us, and He's going to save us in the future. Freilich Purim.
For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.